Good morning. Glad you could join us this day for our EMP. We're going to read from the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Kenny came into the office today. He's like, "Well, what are you today? Are you 20? But he was serious. "I'm actually 35. So I thought he was going to say 25. Wow, what? Wow, that's... Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 to 19. "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, behold, new things have come. And all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation." Amen. Some of you guys may be aware that there's a conference in town called Call to All, and a handful of us went yesterday from SPI. I highly recommend that if you have time, or if you can take a day off even, to come to one of the sessions. Yesterday particularly was an amazing time. You know, the whole call is that this group of Christians have come together and they've come up with a program, and they've mapped what they call Omega Zones, unreached areas designated with unreached people groups. And so they've, through this program, they've designated 400 plus Omega Zones. And so what they want to do essentially is, okay, so we have all these churches developed all over the world, and you know, the Spirit of God obviously is working. You don't have to command or create, "Hey, let's go out and do missions." The heart is already there. But people are going out, and you know, what's to prevent, say, from like all the churches in one particular country and area to focus, say, on China? Or you know, what if my church in California, Fullerton, and the same church in Cerritos, California, is going to the same location? So what they want to do is designate these Omega Zones and globally come together. This is actually the first meeting where they're coming together and have churches and people commit to a particular Omega Zone that has yet to be reached. And ultimately, the sense is that, hey, we're going to get to every unreached people group in the world, and we're going to do this concertively, together, so that, you know, people aren't going to the same place and reinventing the wheel. And what their call is basically is, once every nation and every tongue has heard the name of Jesus Christ in which the gospel has been presented, then that would usher in the second coming of Christ. So it's quite exciting. And so, even from the beginning, when I heard of, you know, what this ministry was about and what this conference is about, you know, something was stirring inside of me. And we come together and we, you know, we began a time of worship, and they call it the solemn assembly. And they just kind of go through it. And then the first thing they want to do before they start getting into mapping out the Great Commission or mapping out and assigning people, the first thing they get to is repentance. And I shared a message, the last message I gave, and I didn't say revival was coming, but what I said was there are steps to revival. And one of the things that I said that pointed out was repentance. And we spent, I think, a good hour and a half, 2 hours. I don't want to say overkill, but they did it pretty thoroughly. And what they had done was they had representatives from 8 nations, not sent by their governments, but just Christians, you know, within you know, the workplace and whatnot. And they had one particular man, a British man who's working in Hong Kong, and he came on behalf of, the white Anglican, you know, UK, and the history that had come between Hong Kong and the UK and China. And he came up before, I mean, there were 3,000 people there, and I have to say, probably half of them were of Chinese descent, and came up and just started confessing on behalf of his people. He brought up 3 specific points, and I may not get all of them exactly, but one of them was the opium wars. For the purpose of trade alone, so that the British government, what was it, the British East India Company, in the 1800s, early, for the sole purpose of trade alone, to make a profit, through war they kept the trade channels open so that they can sell opium. Another one was, and they repented for that in front of the Chinese people. Another one was the war in which eight nations had invaded China. The result was because of the Boxer Rebellion, and because Christians were being, tens of thousands of Christians were being killed, they used that as an excuse to invade. But ultimately, the purpose again was to allow free trade. And as a result of that, Hong Kong was handed over to the UK. And so, he was just up there, just broken and just repenting. Not for a sin that he had committed, but a sin that had been committed by his people, by his generations prior. And so they stood up there, and then other countries had come up, Japan, Germany, and whatnot, and they just all started coming up. And I mean, the purpose is we want to evangelize the world. The gospel must go forth. And here we are as Christians and nations coming together, but there's blockage. There's a barrier. We're familiar that in China, the reason why they're so much more receptive to, say Koreans or, Mongolians or whatnot, is because when they see a Caucasian face, it's accompanied with all the baggage and all the mistreatment and abuse. And so here we are in this room, 3,000 people, gathering together for the purpose of the Great Commission, and there's blockage and there's barrier. And so they recognize this, and so they come together, and the first thing they do is repentance. Right? They recognize that, man, there's so much man-made crap and barriers between us. And so he comes up, eight representatives come, and they just start confessing. And then finally, they have a Chinese man come up, and they wouldn't give us details of his name or origin. He had a cap, and they made it so that you can hardly see his eyes. The whole thing's being recorded. And all they would say was that this man is a descendant of the Qing Dynasty, that he has royal blood in him, and the history goes back. I'm not familiar or well-versed with everything, but in the 1800s, during his regime or whatnot, and he just started confessing and saying, we failed you as a people. And at one point, I think every Cantonese person in the building was crying, saying, to Hong Kong. He was speaking to Hong Kong, saying, you're neither belong to the UK, you neither belong to China, you've been orphaned, we let you go. And so just weeping and crying. He has no power or authority now, just his history, his lineage of thousands and thousands, of ruling or whatnot. And he was up there, and he was just cutting off curses. He's like, in the name of Jesus, I cut off, the empowerment or the belief in dynasties or dragons. He, I don't even know what he was saying, but and I cut off the, orphaned, feeling or the generational curse, and he was just cutting off, and he was yelling, and I'm telling you, something was broken immediately. Something in that room was broken, and people came together, and after having, can you really clear the air in 1 hour? Man, I think when every heart is entwined and together seeking the Spirit, things were broken, and from there we moved into a time of praying for the nations and assigning specific things, and it was powerful. And the ministry of reconciliation. Each of us is called to this. We may not have grieved a nation, but we've grieved family members. We've grieved potentially communities. Whatever involvements, whatever things we've invested our hearts, our lives into. When you consider the covenant that God had made with his people through Abraham, if you're familiar with how covenants were made, obviously they didn't have contracts and pens and whatnot, legal documents. What they would do to honor a contract in the days of Abraham would be that they would take an animal and they would split it in two and they would open up the entrails so that you could see. And then what they would do is both parties of the contract would walk through in between the animals. I don't know if that was once or twice, and what this would symbolize is, okay, this is a contract between two parties. And essentially, if you or the other were to break this contract, then you're symbolizing that, hey, you have the right to do as to me as was done to these animals, you know, cut in two, literally broken open before you. And so that was a sort of a binding agreement. And so when God made a contract with Abraham, right, God said, cut up this, you know, prepare the animal, split it in two, pull out the entrails. And what was supposed to happen was Abraham or would go through and then God would go through. But what happens is that Abraham goes into a deep sleep. And then when Abraham awakes, what happens? He looks and he sees that the pathway where the entrails of the two animal parts were singed, were burned, essentially signifying that God had walked through and made that promise and made that covenant. And the result is that if that covenant is broken, I mentioned before, the party that breaks is liable to the point of death. And yet when man had broken their covenant, not once, not twice, over and over and over again, it's us who's supposed to be the liable party, yet it's God who walked through it, yet it's God who paid our debt in Christ. Amen? It was Jesus Christ, a covenant that we made with God, God's people, and that we're supposed to uphold and that we're supposed to be liable to, that God took the place of and reconciled, and the history of man, right? God is in the business of reconciling. Take away all the material, take away all the titles, take away positions, advancements, technology, take all that away and boil it down to, you know, the essence of life, I would say, is relationship, right? At some point in my youth, growing up, you know, not knowing all the gospel, not knowing all theology, at some point God had convicted in my heart, hey, man, nothing else matters. Nothing will pass into the afterlife aside from relationships. Nothing you can invest in more and receive more in than in relationships. And yet so many relationships are broken. And in the power of the Spirit, right, God is able to reconcile. And that's what we're called to. We're called to a ministry of reconciliation. You know, on a one-on-one term, on a ministry as a church, you know, we're called to go out to the nations and to bring the gospel, which brings true reconciliation, true recovery. You know, what was broken in sin and in Adam, God desires to reconcile and bring together. Amen? So let's bow our heads this morning. I just really want you to just kind of chew and meditate on that. Man, I know that some of us come from some seriously broken families. I know that some of us have broken relationships, you know, under the very house we live in. I know that some of us have just ice cold relationships in the workplace. And sadly enough, even within the church, you know, there are just some parts of the room or whatnot that we just want to be in a different vicinity. And the Bible's not saying that, hey, man, you got to be best friends with every Christian that walks in this room. That's not what we're talking about. You know, there's a verse that says, bear with one another. You know, the verse wouldn't be there if it meant that we would all be best friends and, you know, honky-dory or whatnot. But the Spirit is called and brings us together. We're called to be reconciled as we have been reconciled to Christ. That's not a suggestion. That's a mandate. I mean, if you could have seen just the generations and generations of junk that had been healed literally through the word yesterday, man, you would have been amazed. And I'll say this about a reconciliation. It takes two parts, right? Both parts have to be willing. Both parts have to recognize that in Christ and in God that this is possible. So let the Spirit just speak to you in this hour. God, I receive the ministry of reconciliation. God, I am your agent.
God, I've submitted my life to you. God, if I can be a mediator, then I will step in the gap, Christ, as you have stepped in the gap. God, if there is a hardness or a shell in my heart, Lord, I'm not so big, God. I willingly kneel before you. And I invite you, Holy Spirit, take what the enemy desires for evil, God, and use it to mend and bring together. God, we have a great task. God, we have a great commission. And God, every generation is to believe that you are coming. God, it is without exception. So God, as a church gathered here this morning, God, we confess, we profess, Lord, and we await your second coming. And God, we are not innocent or standbyers. God, we are active participants. God, we are part of your ministry of reconciliation. God, we're a living testimony of that reconciliation. God, what was broken on our part was redeemed on your part. And so, God, we just confess to you. God, we just confess to you our attitude of entitlement or right or pride. God, we just lay all those things down before you. Pastor Nate will lead us in a song. As Pastor Bob was preaching this past weekend, let go and let God, I was really convicted. And towards the end time of the second service, we had ministry time and we were just praying over and praying over. And man, I got this solid picture. And I was just praying like this. And I just kept praying and, praying over our church, over our members. And I started forming like a shield. And the word that I got was that God is going to be a shield about us. And it's going to be impenetrable. And this might be a lame illustration, but you know, a submarine, you know, it can't have any cracks in it, right? It's going to go into the depths. I mean, places where, you know, pressure and whatnot will bring. And so they have to make sure it's absolutely ironclad. And the same way, you know, as a church, I feel like, man, we can't keep having these same holes. That we can't keep running into the same things. You know, God wants to mend these things up, and he has a task, and I've heard it from more than one places, and he's going to use us, you know, as a light, as a church, you know, revival or whatnot, but we got to mend these things together. And so as a church, you know, God's going to be this shield about us, and a shield, you know, usually you think of something defensive, but that's not the type of shield that I was picturing, a type of shield that goes into a crowd, that goes into a riot, literally parts the way. And God's going to use our church in that fashion, in that form. And just, you know, confirmation after confirmation, you know, through this conference, through preachers and whatnot. So let's just pray over our church. One, that God, you are a shield about us. What that means, what that implies is we have nothing to fear. If God is our shield, there is not an arrow or a sword or a single item that can come and chink or disarm God's people. So God is going to be that shield. So one, we have nothing to fear. Two, that we would just receive and go forth into our calling and destination as a church. Not just as an individual, but as a church. And we're not going to let that window pass by. We're here, we're now. God, use us. We're ready. God, mend us as we move forward. Let's make that our prayer. And just pray over our church. God, we just come before you, Lord. We just thank you. Secondly, let's pray for our missions trips this summer. And man, I can't tell you how excited I am. We're going out as agents of Christ. So let's pray for our Uzbek team as we figure out and confirm the specific dates, and as the teams begin to form as we take signups. The Cambodia team, the worship team members, market ministry members, you know, other people that they may be accepting you know, for other roles within that mission trip. For the Fujian trip, they're leaving first week of July. Their training starts, I believe, next Saturday. Or the, anyways, three Saturdays prior to their leaving. If you could just pray, just covering. God is going to call and anoint every individual who's going to be a part of each team. That we would be a church and a ministry that just really focuses on going out and reaching the lost. And God's going to anoint and bless that. And we all have a part of that. Whether we can free up our schedule and actually go on the team, whether we fundraise and support others, whether we come here every morning and pray for our mission teams, this is not just a one-part deal. This is the whole body of Christ working in unison for the purpose of bringing man and woman under the name of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. Everything points to that. So let's just pray over that, and I'll close us. God, we just thank you for that.
therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed us to the word of reconciliation. Father, we come before you this morning, and God, we receive this calling. And God, we just want to say thank you that you've reconciled us to yourself and that you continue to do this. And God, we just want to be agents, God, who are so connected to you. God, that when we walk into a room, God, your presence just flows in us. God, the power of your spirit is alive in us. God, help us to find a hole and to stand in that gap and to fill it. God, so that others could walk over us and to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great morning and continue in your devotion.